Caroline, Willie, D Mays, 1025, 1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. I am on remote today. Willie D and D Mays are out at Bridgestone Arena because it is game six day. Predators hosting the Vancouver Canucks in a gotta have it, must have it if you want to force a game seven game tonight. But Nick Frazier's back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll catch up with Chris Mason in about 30 minutes. We'll get his game five recap, his game six look ahead, kind of a goalie up in the air situation in Vancouver. But Willie D Mace are here. How we doing? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy Friday. It is game time, and I'm ready to wave my gold towels tonight. I was hyped for this game yesterday. Y'all just don't know. I got home last night, did what I needed to do. I sat down and I start watching the basketball game and then start watching the Maple Leafs game. And that just got me going. It just got my juices flowing. And I was just sitting in the chair and I'm waving a flag I don't even have in my hand. And I'm picturing it being a yellow tie. I'm ready to go, Caroline. I am ready to go, Willie. And I hope everybody that's stepping inside this building is ready to go tonight. Because it's do or die.
I like how you're
it's
bringing
do or
the
die.
Energy. I like how you're bringing the energy, D-Mates. And that's a good time, just like we started yesterday's show, to drop in. Just in case, and look, the hustle and bustle gets to people. Not everybody gets the message. So let's keep putting it in there. It's a 6 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several big events going on downtown. I think somebody told me there's going to be a million people downtown.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's an exaggeration or not, but there's going to be a lot of people downtown. So plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Take extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I put on Twitter this morning, I'm guaranteeing, and I said this on the show yesterday, I'm guaranteeing Nash will write you a permission slip that will get you out of work early today.
Well,
Nash is good for it. Nash has a lot of pull with a lot of
I've already
bosses.
Called him. I already called him.
Yep. You're fine.
I'm fine. I called him just in case. I called him just in case.
He'll put it out there for you.
Right.
He's going to have a permission slip to just slip out early on a Friday so you can get here in plenty of time to be rocking and ready to go at 6 o'clock. It's going to be an intense game. You saw it last night in the Toronto game. Toronto did a great job without their superstar player, found a way to beat Boston to get to game seven without their best player. 69 goals, Auston Matthews. He's missed the last two games.
And they won.
And they won both.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in the playoffs.
And my man Max just dropped me off a little swag bag.
Yeah.
Man, they got the Predators logo on the front. Got a few things, little goodies inside.
Nice.
I'm ready. I am ready. Damn it.
Ready to
damn
rock.
Them kids. Put them to bed. Let's go. Let's
get
go.
Your babysitter.
Exactly. Get you a babysitter. Damn them kids. Let's
damn
go.
Them kids.
Bridgestone
I heard Joe
tonight.
Talking yesterday. He said, just put your kids in an Uber.
Exactly. Just put them in an Uber.
For kids now? Just put them in an Uber.
Just drive around the whole game.
Exactly.
The same thing as a babysitter.
Did anybody take our advice yesterday? Is anybody camping outside of Bridgestone Arena?
So I did see a few tents.
Portable fan? A couple of ice chests out front.
You know, there's a few people out there waiting.
You got to do what you got to do.
They want to get in. Ain't never, I think I saw somebody today asking for tickets. You know, it's a hot thing to get right now. Hot piece of paper to get or electronic paper to get.
Yeah.
Because
I don't have nearly as many skins on the wall as Nash has. But if Nash doesn't cut it, then consider me your official get out of work free card. Go ahead and clip this. Nick, if you wouldn't mind, clip this and send to anybody that needs it. Insert name here is allowed to skip work today in order to get to Bridgestone Arena. I do want to get into that. You know, what are we feeling before a 6 o'clock puck drop when we know downtown is going to be absolutely insane tonight? Not just at 6 o'clock, but leading up to it, too. So we'll get into all of that. But first, wanted to start previewing Game 6 tonight. Now, I was looking at The Athletic this morning, and there was a ranking of all of the teams in the playoff, NHL power rankings. And with each team, with each power ranking, there was a player that needed to step up for each playoff team. Now, I opened this article, and I'm scrolling, and the first team is the Carolina Hurricanes, and two is the Colorado Avalanche, and three is the Florida Panthers. And I think that we can all agree that there's probably an argument to be made for any of those teams at the top to be in the top spot. But I think we all view those teams. I would throw Dallas in there and Toronto and Boston in there as potential cup contenders. So I think, you know, splitting hairs here if we want to talk about ranking one through five. I'll throw Edmonton in the mix as well. I keep scrolling, and I'm thinking, where in the world are the Nashville Predators? The Nashville Predators in these power rankings of the playoffs are at 11. And if you're doing the math, the Nashville Predators are the lowest ranked team remaining in the playoffs. Tampa Bay, who's been eliminated, the Kings, who have been eliminated, the Jets, who have been eliminated, all teams below the Nashville Predators. Vancouver is sitting at 7. Vancouver sitting at the Athletics rankings, power rankings at 7, above Toronto, above Boston, above Vegas. And my question to you guys is that fair? Does Nashville deserve to be, and I know that these are, you know, these are Dom Lushusen's rankings on the Athletic, and you, for what it's worth, if the Predators win tonight and if the Predators win game 7, then you're on to the second round of the playoffs taking on Edmonton, and who cares about the power rankings? But that's how at least Dom Lushusen, or maybe a big fraction of the national media, views the Nashville Predators and might view this playoff matchup. But is that fair?
Damn these rankings. You know, the only thing you want to do is win in advance. Damn a ranking, because you win, then obviously they're going to rank you a little bit higher. I mean, if you've watched all of the hockey games, and I haven't watched every team that's in the playoffs, I've gotten a chance to watch Toronto a few times because it seems like that's the game that's always on, even though I know other games are on as well. It just seems like that Bruins and Maple Leafs game is always on. So if you're watching all these games, I can't say you're right where you rank them, and I can't say you're wrong. I'm just judging it by what I've seen in the Nashville Predators. They've been good, but they haven't been good enough to be up in this series. So they got them ranked 11. I mean, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
If they were up 3-2, then obviously they would have them ranked higher than Vancouver if they were up 3-2 or closer to Vancouver, let's say that. But, I mean, to me, this has been a hard-fought series. I think they're closer to Vancouver than not. When you're talking about the way they've been playing in this series, actually, I think they played a little bit better majority of the time than Vancouver. But it's been those few times that, you know, they've lack of concentration. I don't know what it has been, but it has cost them two games. So if they want to rank the Predators this low, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue about it because they are down 3-2. If they were up 3-2 or the series is tied, maybe it'd be a little bit different in regards to their rankings, but I don't have a problem with it.
It doesn't surprise me. They do it analytically, mm-hmm. I think, a lot. Dom is all about analytics, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's any secret that if you look at the names on the paper, that Nashville doesn't have quite the firepower that the other teams have above them, and they knew that going into the series. So it doesn't surprise me at all, and I think it's a fair ranking. But that means nothing tonight, and I think that's the sole focus, is find a way to win a game on home ice and keep your season alive. I think the encouraging thing is what we've talked about throughout the series. All five games have been within reach, mm-hmm. for either team, and I think that gives you hope that, uh-huh. you know, it's not like you're overmatched by Vancouver. You found ways to be right in it. I think something that has stuck with me is we know the big theme of the series, right? And that is, it's been hard to get good shots. It's been hard to get good looks by both teams. And Vancouver is going to bank on their big stars having a little bit more finishing power, like mm-hmm. Miller and Besser have come through just a little bit more than Nashville's big weapons. And Vancouver's got a couple of more weapons. But when Nashville has caught fire, we know that they're going to get themselves in position to score enough. But when they're more opportunistic and the puck is going in for them, they become something much, much bigger than a fringe playoff team, right? You look at the 13-3 run they had from mid-November until mid-December, which got them back in the race when they were 5-10. Puck started going in for them. And then no more so than the 16-0-2, mm-hmm. where they looked dead in the water. And all of a sudden, you had guys like Kiefer Sherwood and Michael McCarron scoring goals. Tommy Novak caught fire again. And it was other people besides that top line that's been consistent. So I think that if you're looking for a way to win a game tonight and extend the series, the phrase that Andrew Burnett has been using is grab a moment, right? Anybody can grab a moment in the playoffs. If it's Roman Josi or Philip Forsberg, great. Those are your star players that are most likely to do it. But anybody can do it. That's the beauty of the playoffs. Right?
Noted goal scorer Alexander Carrier can do
perfect.
It.
Perfect example. That was a great one. The other night, they hadn't had a goal from a defenseman all series. And then all of a sudden, it's Josi and then Carrier gets the game winner. So that's the beauty of the NHL playoffs.
And I think that, you know, one of my biggest takeaways from this article is, look, the national media can view it one way. And I think that we all kind of expected it to be viewed that way, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at Vancouver's roster on paper, when you look at this matchup on paper, well, Vancouver's roster is deeper. It's faster. It's bigger. We see that on the ice. So you can rank these teams however you want, but we've watched in these games. We've watched in a 5-game sample size. I think that's more than enough to, you know, have a fair evaluation of these two teams and how they are matched up. But it is a lot more even than maybe people are giving it credit for. That all of these games, the difference has been a razor's edge. That we talked about this yesterday, how the difference between the Predators being down 3-2 in the series versus potentially ending this series is 12 seconds in game one and 3 to 5 minutes in a defensive breakdown in game four. Like, that's been the difference. Had those things not happened, we might be talking about the Edmonton Oilers right now. So this game is so evenly matched. This matchup is so evenly matched. And it's also why I don't want to hear the "they weren't supposed to be here" conversation anymore. And I know that's the truth. And I know that nobody picked. Actually, I take that back. I'll give credit where credit is due. Greg Wyshynski picked the Predators to make the playoffs, but he's the only one. The only one that picked this team to make the playoffs. So I know that it's true that they're not supposed to be here. But I don't want to hear that because they are very firmly in this series and it has been so evenly matched.
Yeah, you can't say, well, they're supposed to be here. But they get here, then, you know, there's this back and forth. And obviously they're down 3-2. And you're sort of trying to set yourself up for not having this huge disappointment. So your first thing to say is, well, they shouldn't be here. No, they are here, which means they earned the right to. They should be here. They earned the right to be here. They were one of few teams that earned the right to get in the playoff because of what they did in the regular season. They were one of the best teams the second half of the regular season. So they do deserve to be here. Now that they're here, we expect them to win. At least I expect them to win. I'm not going into this, you know, saying, oh, they shouldn't be, you know, no one thought they were going to be here. So, you know, I'm good. No, they earned the right to be here, just like the other teams that are in the playoffs. And I expect them to win because they have played winning hockey throughout the playoffs. It's just those certain pockets of those games that they lost when they were up that has caused them to be down 3-2. But they deserve to be here. And honestly, the way they played at times, they deserve to be up in the series, but they're not.
Yep. By the way, a related note, just out in the last few minutes, the Jack Adams Award finalists have been announced, and it is, as expected, Rick Tocchet, Andrew Burnett, and Rick Bowness are the three finalists. So it is truly, as it was billed before the series started, the Jack Adams series, basically, right? Because I think you got to give
two.
It's the Norris series too. I think you would probably see a mixed bag. I don't think a lot of people had Vancouver in the playoffs as well, but they got off to such a great start that, you know, all of a sudden they were a headliner within a month of the season. But we shouldn't forget that before the season, I think in the Pacific Division, you had a pretty ironclad trio of teams that everybody was picking. You had Edmonton, you had L.A., and you absolutely had Vegas, the defending champions, right? So it was, for both of these teams, maybe in the wild card mix. So you look at what Rick Tocchet has done with Vancouver, it's been really, really impressive. So it's kind of like both teams have got to say, look, maybe nobody thought we would be here. People realized Vancouver was going to be here before they realized Nashville was going to be here because Nashville was 27-25-2 after the 9-2 game against the Stars that a lot of people assumed at that point maybe they were done. But the fact is that now that, like you were saying, now that you're here, don't worry about how you got here. You've earned the right to be here, so you might as well play your best.
Exactly. And the fans should expect the Nashville Predators to play their best, especially at home. And we should expect, you know, Tommy Novak to step his game up. We expect Roman Josi to continue, you know, to step his game up but have another good game. We expect UC Soros to play the way he did last game, this game. Those are the things we expect. Why? Because we've seen them. We've seen these guys do it. So I'm not, if I've seen you do it, I don't expect any less.
I have seen the official tweet, Caroline, with the form attached.
Okay.
From Nash.
So we got it?
Go at Nash00.
Okay.
And you will be able to print out the form that has all of the checklist there if you need to get out of work early this afternoon so you can get to the game.
There we go.
Not
problem
if you
solved.
Need to leave work early, when you need to leave work. Just go ahead and leave now. Go ahead, get your
what
car
the heck?
Out.
It's a holiday. It's the weekend.
Exactly.
Let's go.
It's the weekend. Let's do it. Holiday. It's prayers holiday.
Can this apply to me?
May.
Can this apply to
those
me
don't
or
count.
No?
Of course.
Well, yeah, but no, because you got to control the board, you know, so no one's going to be there if you decide to walk out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
never mind.
Yeah.
Take it up with the suit.
Yeah, take it up with suit.
I'll go to game 8.
There we go.
There you go. Yeah, that one might be above my pay grade, but I'll put in a good word for you. And I'm more than willing to do that. D-Base, you bring up Tommy Novak, and I'm glad that you did, because in this article that's power ranking NHL teams in the playoffs, they also list a player that needs to step up, that needs to do more. Any guesses of who's listed for Vancouver?
I don't think there's any guesswork involved for either team if you've been following the series. Don't you think? I mean, it's probably the same mentality. It's you see the heavyweights going at each other, and then that secondary scoring is where you're going to find that answer.
That would be Elias Pettersson in the least shocking news of the day for Vancouver. But D-Mace, like you mentioned, Predators fans want more from Tommy Novak. We want more from Tommy Novak. Dom Lashusen, once more from Tommy Novak. He is listed as the player that needs to step up, that needs to do more in this series. And look, it's something that Andrew Brunette has acknowledged himself. This was Andrew Brunette yesterday afternoon.
Andrew, you said before game 4 that Tommy Novak was maybe waiting a little bit, not initiating as much puck contact as you'd like to see. These last couple games, have you seen progress from him in that regard?
Yeah, it's been hard for Tommy to kind of get going. I think I saw progress in game 4. I didn't really see as much in game 5. And in fairness to him, opportunity, ice time probably hasn't been quite as high in those games, so sometimes it is hard to create or to get moving. You know, we're still waiting for him, and it's a great opportunity for him to break out here for us because we need him. Such a talented kid. I felt really after game 4 he was ready to pop here a little bit. And, probably last game, you know, again, circumstantially with the ice time, I thought he was really good early and we lost him a little bit late. So, but he's a key part of our team.
Now, going into this series, I never said, you know, this series is going to be won and lost by what Tommy Novak does. No, it was more about Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist and UC Soros, but getting that supplemental scoring from Tommy Novak and having him more as an asset rather than he's been a liability, which we've seen him be in a couple games so far this series, I think that's big. Also understanding that there's plenty of guys on Vancouver's roster that Canucks fans are looking around like, "What? Where the heck have you been? We need more from you," and understanding that at any moment, a Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson could break out. Having that in your back pocket, I think, with Tommy Novak would be huge in this series. But also, Willie, I don't know how much I can really hold my breath if we haven't seen enough from him through 5 games. How much more can I expect from him in game 6?
Well, you know, Tommy Novak is a guy, if you look over the course of the season, is a guy that when he gets going, he really makes plays, and this is a series where you know there aren't going to be a ton of opportunities. Mm-hmm. Unless we see something completely different tonight, it's going to be another game where the big opportunities are going to be few and far between. He's got the skill to make a play, and it may just be one play. Mm-hmm. That might makes the difference in a tight game. Every game has been tight. As we talked about yesterday, the simplest stat to tell you what's going on in this series is each team has scored exactly 12 goals. 12 goals in five games. Neither team's lighting up the score sheet. So whoever comes up with the big play? And Novak is capable of doing it. And certainly on the other side, Elias Pettersson, who just signed a contract of, I think, over $11 million a year for an extension. A lot has been put on his shoulders, and he hasn't played up to what he's capable of. He's a guy that can be a difference maker for sure. Like, I think he's an elite, elite talent. Mm-hmm. Not to take anything away from Tommy Novak, who is a very important player for this Predators team. But Elias Pettersson, Elliot used the phrase, life in the big city, mm-hmm. right? When you make the big bucks and you sign the big contract, the lights are bright. A lot is expected of you. And so that's a big story coming out of Vancouver. But I think both guys are equally important to how their team ticks, right? And so I think the indications based on what we're seeing is I think my gut feeling is Novak is probably back in there again tonight. At home, it's easier, as we talked about, to put him in good situations. And let's hope that the confidence they show in him, the belief they show in him, will come out at some point.
He reminds me of a Rush end. And stick with me for a quick second here and let me explain. He reminds me of a Rush end, that guy that just specialized in rushing a quarterback. Well, when the game is tight and the game is out of reach and you know they're going to just run the ball out and there's no way for them to come back, you can't put him in a game because he's not good against the run. Or if the game is out of reach and this team is just running a football, he's not good against the run, so you can't put him in there. But if you're up, two touchdowns with 2 minutes left, well, you know they got to pass the ball. So what do? You throw Tommy Novak in so he can get to the – because he's doing one singular thing, the thing that he's best at, and that's because he has the skill to get to the quarterback and rush the quarterback, but he's an undersized guy going against these bigger guys. To me, that's Tommy Novak. If this wasn't a sort of back-and-forth one-goal game, then – you can put a Tommy Novak in because the game is going to be a little bit more wide open because Vancouver's trying to, score. They're trying to score quickly to cut the deficit. You can put a guy like that in. But when the game's tight, 2-1, 1-1, it's hard to put him in there because the game changes because it's a little bit tighter. Now you're getting this physical play, and he's just not – it doesn't seem like he's ready for that physical play just yet.
Teammates, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. When you first said that Tommy Novak reminds you of a Rush end, I thought you said he's Russian. And I thought, where are you going with
this? I should have said defensive end, excuse me.
Got it. Okay, understood. And a good analogy there. All right, we'll catch up with Chris Mason coming up next. We'll get his I'm excited to get his perspective of the goalies. Not just Saros, but the trio of goalies that we've seen from Vancouver so far. So we'll catch up with C-Mace coming up next. Also, quick little note, a little bit of breaking news that came out before we came on air. Odell Beckham Jr. signing with the Dolphins. I haven't seen anything yet in the text line, but I'm just going to preemptively say this. The Titans did not need to sign Odell Beckham Jr. So I don't want to hear any crying from Titans fans today about OBJ headed to the Dolphins. All right, C. Mace joining us coming up next. Ask D. Mace in 1 hour, so get those questions in for D. Mace, taking your calls and your texts, and of course, getting your Predators thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in on the conversation, Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Well, I think the biggest question is going to be what happens in net, Derek. Like, I don't know what he's going to do here. I guess DeSmith, but, you know, some people warned me, don't be surprised if it's Shelovs again. Tockett seems to really like Shelovs, and even though he didn't start the series as the backup. So, to me, that's the number one decision, is what are they doing in goal? And the last I checked today, they hadn't announced anything, so we'll see where this is going to go. So that's the big decision.
That was 32 Thoughts podcast host in Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman on our show yesterday afternoon. So he said possibly DeSmith, but also Rick Tockett loves what he'd seen from Artur Shelovs. And this is coming out this morning from Irfan Ghaffar, a sports reporter in Vancouver. He tweeted out, said, it sounds like it's going to be Artur Shelovs starting in goal for the Canucks in Game 6. Willie, your initial reaction to that, were you surprised that that was the direction that Rick Tockett looks like he's going to make? And from the Predators' perspective, you know, what do you make of that?
Well, I listened carefully to what Elliot was saying yesterday on the show. And I do think that Elliot gets good information from different sources. And so the sense I'm getting, and this is just kind of reading the tea leaves here, and based on, and by the way, officially, Tockett did not announce his starting goalie. He was at the podium. He dodged the questions. He was not going to say, but there is.
He's going to want to dodge it as long as possible.
Yeah. I think he's giving a lot of trying to drop hints on both guys, so everybody's thrown off. But I do think the sense is that he believes that Shelovs is a little, and this is just my opinion, reading the tea leaves, right? This is not inside info by any stretch. But I think he senses that Shelovs has got a higher ceiling than Casey DeSmith. He's a little bigger. He's a little more athletic. Casey DeSmith is a very reliable backup who serves a great purpose over the course of a regular season. But if he hasn't been quite 100% and they like what Shelovs is doing, I get the sense they're going to stay with Shelovs. Now, the other development here is that Thatcher Demko is here, and he has done some work. He stayed out on the ice. So it's a crowded goalie room. They've got four goalies here. I don't think Demko is ready to play yet tonight. There's no question about that. But I think that is what a lot of people at Vancouver are watching as well, is how soon could Demko be ready to go. But tonight, if I had to guess, just, you know, again, just reading all of the information that is available, is that the likely guy is Shelovs, but we're not going to get that confirmed now, until warmups.
Willie, which guy, because you've seen all three guys up close because you're calling the games, which guy do you think gives, obviously, they're the starting goalie.
Yeah, Demko is the man. Take him out of the mix
Take him out of the mix. Which one of these goalies have you seen that gives them the better opportunity?
I don't know enough about Shelovs, but I have been pretty impressed that I think mentally he has not cracked.
Okay.
And I think that is the first thing you look at when a young guy is thrown in there. He's only 23, right, which is young for a goaltender. And he's gotten a considerable amount of AHL time, but not a lot of NHL experience. So for him to go in there, and Rick Tockett has said repeatedly, the moment's not too big for him. And I think that's the first thing he looks for. So then you get down to how talented is he? I think he's pretty talented. We'll talk to C-Mace about him at noon, about what he does well. I think you're going to hear C-Mace say this, though. He has let some rebounds out there. But in doing so, the defense is so good in front of him. Those big trees. Myers, 6'7". Zadorov, 6'6". Soucie, 6'4". Ian Cole's not as tall, but he's a solid, you know, really strong guy. They have protected him very well so that when he does give up rebounds, Nashville hasn't been able to get in there and get to a rebound. That would be a huge thing tonight if the Predators could find a way to get a rebound goal in traffic, get through that wall. Because I think Rick Tockett feels like Shelovs is good enough that if he makes that first save, we're going to protect him. They're not going to get to the rebound. And if he does that, we like our chances of winning.
Is that because you brought up something, Willie, and I don't think we've talked about this, Caroline, at all the rebounding, being better with the second chance shots. Yeah. We see it a lot in basketball. You see it.
The Knicks last night, that's how they won the game.
That's how they ended up winning the game with the Nashville Predators, getting that extra rebound. Has that been something that they've talked about, you believe, internally?
Yes.
Or has Coach Bruno mentioned it?
He has mentioned it. I think Brunette knows how tough it is to do against the Canucks. It's one of the best things that they do. And at the same time, you can't give it up, right? You can't just give up trying to get in there. You've got to find a way to fight and see if you can get to a rebound. We've made a lot of note of Ryan O'Reilly's 20-some-odd goals, approaching 30 now. How many of them are in the blue paint, right? He's really good at getting in there. But his one goal this series is a power play goal that was shot through traffic. That's also a good way to score. They've gotten some tip goals. They've gotten some screen goals. But to my recollection, I went through the 12 goals. The only rebound goal that they scored was Colton Sissons in game two, but that was on a rush. That was a second wave on a rush. What they haven't been able to do is in a 5-on-5 regular possession where it's everybody's down there and there's a lot of traffic, finding a way to get that greasy goal where you find a way to get to a rebound. If they could get one tonight, that would be on the margins, right, where this series has been, every game has been won on the margins.
Yeah.
That's something that could tip the scales.
And just taking advantage of what feels like very little time that the Predators have spent getting into Vancouver's zone, being able to capitalize on all of those possessions. And here's my thing with Shelovs is, I'm not going to jump up and down that it looks like that's going to be the guy. Of course, no official announcement has been made by Rick Tocchet, and sounds like he wants to delay that decision as much as possible, at least publicly, because all three of those goalies have proven that they can beat the Predators. And each of their three games that they've won in this series, it's been with three different goaltenders. And I think that Shelovs made some pretty impressive saves, both in Game 5 and in Game 4 in Nashville. But here's my thing with Shelovs is, you know, Rick Tocchet talked about, like you mentioned, Willie, the moment's not too big for him. But with a young and rather inexperienced goaltender, I feel like there's more room for the moment getting too big for him. I feel like there's more room for he can make more mistakes that the Predators can take advantage of. And that's nothing against him as a goaltender, but it's more so a testament to he's inexperienced, that Vancouver wanted to close the series out in Game 5, and they didn't, and they had to take the long trip back to Nashville, that the later it gets in this series, the pressure ramps up, and maybe that could get to a more young and inexperienced goaltender tonight.
I think that's
fair. Look, the Predators want to take care of their own business. You know, you cannot rely on a young goaltender making mistakes, but just an observation.
I think the one thing that Vancouver should be commended for, too, is that it doesn't look like they have played like they have to protect their goalie. That's a testimony to both DeSmith and Shelovs, that it's not like they're sitting back and not even trying to score. It doesn't look like they're playing differently. They played the same way in front of Demko. Caroline, to your point, maybe the series, as it goes along further, maybe you find those tendencies a little bit more. And you find that one little thing that you've figured out about him that allows you to find the solution, right? Before, maybe the unknown, it's like a pitcher, maybe the first time through the lineup, first time facing a team, maybe a young pitcher has an advantage because the hitters haven't seen him. But once they see him a couple times, maybe you find out a little thing or two that each person adjusts. Anyway, this is what's there. This is what we can exploit the more you see him. Maybe you can hope for that a little bit with a young goalie like Shelovs, that you find a little bit of the weakness there. And like you said, Caroline, the longer it goes, you keep asking somebody to play at a really high level, and he hasn't played a lot of playoff games, and maybe the longer the series goes, there's more of a chance that maybe he could have a little crack in the armor.
Yeah, they have to
find
it.
And that's not exclusive to him.
Oh, yeah.
Feel any young player. The effects of that as well.
Yeah.
Especially in a situation like this, you got a young player coming in. Yes, he's played well, but I think the longer the series goes, the more that things ramps up, the more pressure is put on him to be almost flawless. But they're doing a good job in front of him. And the Predators got to find a way to put more pucks on the net. Well, hell, I'm sure both teams are trying to figure that out, how to put more pucks on the net. But I think really for the Nashville Predators, because now they're down to that third goalie, and I'm not going to say they're down to that third goalie. They're choosing to use their third goalie now.
They're showing confidence.
Exactly, absolutely. Yep. So now the Nashville Predators got to figure out a way to get more pucks on the net to try to ramp that pressure up on them.
Make his job hard.
Yes.
Make it difficult for him. All right, like Willie mentioned, C. Mace will join us at the top of the hour at noon. We'll get to ask D. Mace at 12:30, so get those questions in for D. Mace. But coming up next, right to you. It is your day, and it is a Predators Game 6 game day. Right into your calls and texts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is that phone number if you want to get in on this. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vandy Baseball takes on Georgia with pregame at 4:45 p.m. and first pitch at 5 p.m. A hectic day for you, Willie. Stressful day for
good
you.
Good grief.
My goodness.
We've got all kinds of
doors,
things going on.
Got the Preds. It's Willie Donick Day. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. We pick and choose our freaks.
Yep.
Hey, pick your freak.
You got options. You got freaky options. It's a great day to pick your freak. It's a Friday.
We're picking our freak, and it's called the Nashville Predators. Yes.
And I advise picking your freak today. The freak is leaving work early and getting to Bridgestone Arena. That is where Willie D and D-Mace are out there today. Game 6 tonight, 6 o'clock puck drop. To make sure that Bridgestone Arena is loud and popping by then. We've got a bunch of Predators thoughts in our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So unless we have a thought,
Let's go to the phones.
And we need to maybe get Javon Kearse, the freak, to voice one of these promos. Yeah. We're going with a new thing. Don't freak out.
Yeah, don't freak out, people. Yeah.
Or
don't
pick and choose out. Your freaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick your freak. Pick and choose your freak. It's a free country. It's a freak country, rather, if you will.
It's a free country.
Dustin's on the line with a Preds thought. Go ahead, Dustin. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, brother? So I really don't care who they play at goalie tonight. Because they've all shown that the defense in front of them is going to take care of them. I just want to tell them, if they're listening, the Canucks goalies, make sure you're double cupping, because we're going to be in your business tonight, bro.
Someone picked their freak
like
today.
I called in yesterday and talked about, you know, the seventh defenseman and taking Novak out, because the seventh defenseman isn't going to be as much of a liability. May not be as offensive, but I could argue Barry has already created more offense in one game than Novak has in, what, 4 or 5? And so there's something to getting heavy on defense and getting even stingier than we already have. Not only do you change your game and you get even heavier, so it makes them make more mistakes because you're in their face so much. It'll make them pissed off because you're in their face and commit more penalties. And I think pretty much on penalties, it's been pretty even. If I was going to say one or the other, it's benefited the Canucks more than us. But we have two power play goals and they have two. So get in their face, get them ticked off. It's do or die tonight, and make them come off their game a little bit. You know, get in the goalie's face, and just one goal is probably going to decide the series. I called in about sometime last week, and I said it's probably going to be decided like a 3-goal differential. We're looking at tied up right now. Them boys get in there and they score one goal tonight, we might be talking about game 7. We might be talking about Edmonton. Let's go.
Thanks for your call, Dustin.
Dustin, you can tell he puts a lot of thought into this. From the morning skate, and I did not hear all of what Andrew Burnett said at the press conference. I don't know if we have the clip about any questions along those lines, Nick, but it does look to me like it is unclear right now whether, A, Shen is healthy enough to come back. I believe he was on the ice. Barry was on the ice. They had all those guys out there. So 7 defensemen is an option, probably. Or just keeping Barry in or not putting Barry in. So we mentioned the drip. The stuff that keeps a coach awake at night. I'm sure Andrew Burnett didn't sleep much last night, pondering all of the different things that Dustin, I thought, did a good job of laying out there of all the reasons why you would do one thing, and then you can list some reasons the other way of why you want to make sure you keep that defense airtight.
Nick, do we have that that Andrew Burnett on Luke Shen?
Yeah, we'll have to make some game time decisions for us tonight. So he's one of them. I don't know how he's feeling.
So there you go. Yeah. So it's unclear.
Day to day.
The old Rick Tocchet goalie holding all the cards close to the chest and not revealing any information unless it has to be revealed.
Yeah. So Luke Shen, uh-huh. Right, if you figure maybe he's not 100%, the old adage, who is 100% exactly. At this time of the year, but yeah. Is him getting over illness more beneficial? Mm-hmm. His experience and everything he brings to the table more so than having Barry in there and the stuff that he brings to the table. With as you heard Dustin say, I think it's fair mm-hmm. that he did provide a spark to the power play. And you can say that there's some guys like Novak that haven't been as noticeable and they've been in there a lot more than he has. So you're weighing both, right? Mm-hmm. Barry, the reason he has not been in there for the long haul is because he has not had a great year defensively. There's never been any question, I think, of his ability as a skilled playmaking guy, especially on the power play. So I don't want to label him a specialist because that would be unfair to him because he has played a lot of hockey for a long time. As
but
a regular
for this
guy.
Team, he can be
but
a specialist.
But for this team this year, yeah. He's yeah. been a little bit more of a specialist.
Yes.
And Garland texts in about Tyson Barrie, says, I want to know what you guys think about Barrie coming in and playing. I think it gave us an extra layer of skill with another quarterback on the power play. I think it confused Vancouver's penalty kill a little bit more because they weren't expecting him to play out there and allowed Josi to be able to be more mobile as well. See, I don't know how much I fully subscribe to that just because, yes, the Predators were able to score on the power play. 100% absolutely, and that ended up being the difference of the game. But also, a couple power plays on Tuesday night that were bad.
Well, I thought there was a difference, though.
The puck moved
remember,
different.
The first power play, which was in the first period, mm-hmm. got nowhere. Mm-hmm. And they didn't yeah. have Barry
no, they
on the first five there. Mm-hmm. Then in the second period, they put Barry with the first five. And I thought the two power plays they had in the second period, they didn't score, but they were noticeably better at getting set up, moving the puck around. Mm-hmm. Barry has that skill. And it gave, I think it was Garland that texted in, it gave the Canucks a different look, something mm-hmm. they hadn't seen, and it moved Josi to a different spot. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, when you're defending, you're not like, well, here they are. We know where he's going to be. We know where he's going to be, and this is how we've prepared. It gave him a little shake up there, and then they broke through in the third period. Now, you lose that element of surprise, mm-hmm. right, because now Vancouver's gone back over. It's okay, when Barry's in there, this is what he likes to do. So it is a cat-and-mouse game. So all that to say, I would not be surprised if I saw Barry in there, and I wouldn't be totally shocked if they went back to what they had been doing before and try to come up with a new wrinkle on the power play. They practiced the power play a bunch this morning, and they Andrew Burnett's smart, right? He knows that the Canucks are watching, mm-hmm. so he gave them a lot of different looks. He gave them a lot of things to think about there.
We will continue to get back into your Preds phones all show long. And, of course, ask D-Mace at 12:30. So get those calls and texts in for D-Mace. But C-Mace will join us coming up next. We'll get his take on what he's seen from this team so far, what he wants to see in Game 6 tonight. And, of course, we saw a report coming out of Vancouver that it seems like it's going to be Artur Shilov's in net tonight for the Canucks, but no official word yet from Rick Tocchet. So we'll get into all of that with C-Mace coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune into 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Coverage will begin at 1 p.m. with the race starting at 2 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com.